Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today, we're going to talk NBA playoffs. I have Miami Heat writer from SB Nation, Saria Fernandez. And we're going to talk about the big Heat win. And I'm going to talk about it right now. Miami destroyed the Charlotte Hornets 106-73. It was a back-and-forth game. The Heat led most of the way. The Hornets were trying to fight back, and then they just overwhelmed them. And the biggest key definitely was Goran Dragic, who was horrible leading up to game five. Game six in the second half, he started hitting shots. I think that was big for him. I think game six is big overall for the Miami Heat. I think it's going to change and help them and it's going to propel them into the next round. I believe they're going to beat Toronto. I'll get into that a little later. I think this was big for the Heat to go through that adversity. And maybe they took Charlotte lightly because they really came out defensively and they were aggressive. And Goran Dragic's defense was good because Kemba Walker was 3 of 16. And that is really impressive for Miami. You know, he only had 9 points. They slowed Jeremy Lin down. They kept his penetrations to a minimum. He had 9 points. He usually was going off driving or passing, and they did a good job. But now the Hornets didn't really go to Al Jefferson like they could have. I didn't think that was too smart of them. He was a very crafty scorer, and he gave Whiteside trouble. But because they didn't go into him to Al Jefferson, Whiteside went berserk. As far as the rebound, 12 rebounds, 5 blocks, but he altered about 10 other shots. He was great. When he's doing that and he's scoring and he's giving you 10 points and 12 rebounds and 5 blocks, and he can even get even more points, you're good because now that's the inside presence that nobody in the East had. The only really guy that Whiteside was going to have trouble with on the interior as far as scoring was Al Jefferson, and he's gone. So that is big for the Heat. D-Wade didn't have to do much. He was the man in game six, scoring big. It was everybody else. Dragic was big time, 25 points, 11 of 17, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He was just really good. Defensively, he was really good. Offensively, he was attacking the basket, being aggressive, hitting his jump shot. And that was big. And Luol Deng has been great. 15 points, but he's just been a stabilizing force from the outside. Joe Johnson was solid, but I think the best Joe Johnson, you're going to see a better Joe Johnson the following round. I think the longer this goes, you're going to see him really be that star. And another thing they did really good was defensive rebound. They're going to really have to do that against one of the best offensive rebound teams in the entire league in the Toronto Raptors. They didn't give Charlotte any second chance points. Charlotte Hornets had to really be good from the outside, and they weren't. And their best player, one of their best shooters, Nicholas Batum, was hurt. He had 10 points, but he was only 3 of 9 from the outside. And that hurt him. And their numbers weren't as good. Courtney Lee was solid with 11 points, but you have Kaminsky had 12, and then Al Jefferson with 4. Marvin Williams with 5. Marvin Williams hurt the Miami Heat in game 5, and he was a no-show in this game. Good defensive player, but he didn't really do nothing offensively. They're going to end up playing the Toronto Raptors, and the Raptors won 89-84 against the Indiana Pacers. It was a hard-fought game. The Raptors were up 81-67, up 14 points. And then the Pacers stormed back, battling back and forth with George Hill and Paul George making shots. And they cut the lead all the way to 85-82. And when Kyle Lowry makes a driving layup with 2 minutes left, that really won the game. But I'm going to tell you who was the unsung heroes in that series. Corey Joseph hit a lot of big shots. The guy, if you're a Miami Heat fan, the guy you better watch out for is Patrick Patterson. Because he hits dagger threes. And he did that even in the Nets series that they lost, that he was big. And he would hit those big threes. You do You do not. He's a little like Robert Horry. You don't want to leave him open. You hug him tight if you're guarding him. You don't go help. You go help, and he's catching the ball, especially in the fourth quarter. That shot's going in. And I was very impressed with that. And Norman Powell, the rookie, UCLA, is playing big time. Playing big time basketball for a rookie. Because Kyle Lowry struggled with his jump shot. And, you know, he had 13 points, Powell. And that's a key for them going ahead against the Miami Heat. I believe the Miami Heat will beat them in six. But I'm going to tell you the key for Miami is to get a game in Jurassic Park in Toronto, out Valanciunas. The Toronto Raptors had 18 offensive rebounds yesterday. Biombo, the backup center, and Valanciunas had about 12. And you have to box them out at all times. And that is a part of their offense, is their offensive rebounds, because they don't shoot it as well as the Hornets. And DeRozan was solid. But if Lowry's not going to shoot, what's going to happen is they're going to rely heavily, because Valanciunas is a decent offensive player, but he's a tremendous offensive rebound. And he's very good at rolling to the basket off penetration. So Eric Spoelstra and his staff is going to have their hands full trying to figure out the right defense. And say, for instance, Whiteside has to come over off of a penetration. The guards, the D-Wades, and the Joe Johnson, they're going to have to box out Valanciunas. And dang, if they go small, and McRoberts. And now the Heat, they were tremendous defensively as far as rebounding in the last series, but this is a different, whole different set of problems you have, because you have bigger, stronger guys that go after that. Valanciunas will foul out trying to get offensive rebound, but you have to box him out, and that's going to be the key for the Miami Heat. I'm going to look forward to talking to the Miami Heat writer, Saria Fernandez, to see what his take is. But I believe the Heat, you don't want to see a Game 7 in Jurassic Park. I think the Heat, if they're going to win it and get to Cleveland, they're going to have to win it in six and get them out in South Beach and win their home games. As far as Atlanta and Cleveland, I like what ESPN wrote. It says, LeBron James plucked the Atlanta Hawks clean and stuffed them from mounting by himself in last year's playoffs. That was about right, because Kyrie was hurt, and Kyrie was 100%, and Love was out with the shoulder injury. And he just run. And he has consistently, historically run roughshod over the Hawks. It's almost like there's a fear factor. There's an intimidation factor, like Mike Tyson of the early 80s, the way he goes after the Hawks. But now this Hawk team, I don't predict them to beat the Cleveland. But this is a little tougher team. Millsap playing really good. Teague and Schroeder's defense on Kyrie is going to be big, because he averaged 28 points in this playoffs against the Pistons. If he's averaging 28 against the Hawks, it's going to be a sweep. They have to slow down a little bit. And then you have to make LeBron James shoot as many jumpers as you can, if he can. But, you know, you're not going to always do that. But I think defensively they're going to have to really take chances and hope that Derek Smith doesn't make his jumper. You don't want to leave Kevin Love open, because he could shoot. It's a whole different set of problems for Cleveland, because you got a deal. Boston, you could slough off because they didn't shoot it as well. But Cleveland shoots it better. And that's why I got Cleveland in six. My heart is saying, because Atlanta could get two wins, my mind is saying Cleveland could literally sweep the Hawks. But I just think the Hawks are going to put up a fight, and they're going to be feisty and do what they have to do and get two games. Just – on the fact, but you know what? LeBron could guard Millsap and slow him down. But I do like the way Horford's shooting the basketball. He was big against Boston. Hit a lot of big jump shots. He's kind of shooting threes now, so his range is a little further out. And hey, watch out for Kyle Korver. You better make sure. Now, I would think Tyronn Lue and his staff are going to make sure that Korver doesn't hurt him like Boston got hurt, because Boston's a younger team and they didn't pay attention to detail. You know, and that'll happen to you. You know, and after I interview Saria Fernandez, I'm going to talk about the OKC San Antonio game and how not paying attention to detail will get you blown out. And that's what happened to San Antonio and OKC. But this matchup is going to be very, very interesting with Miami and Toronto, because you got Drake out on the court talking a lot of trash. I don't think that's a too good of an idea, because the last guy that did it didn't work out too good. That was the purple shirt man who talked a lot of trash. And I wonder if the Charlotte fans are going to feel a little angry at him because of the fact that it seemed like he motivated, the really got Wade going. Sometimes you have these obnoxious fans that are at courtside, and that'll do it. We have him on now. Good. We have, is it Soraya Fernandez? I want to make sure I pronounced that right.
Soraya Fernandez. Close enough.
Soraya Fernandez, yes. SB Nation of Miami Heat. It's so good that we could talk on a happy note. Miami Heat, they win game 7. I thought, and I was on him hard. I was really critical. I thought Goran Dragic was outstanding, because I was kind of riding him on my radio show, not playing to his potential, and I thought he did yesterday. What do you think?
You could just tell from his body language, the way he was kind of out of it the last few games versus what he pulled off in Game 7. And Game 7 was much more indicative of the kind of role he had with the Heat after the All-Star break. Aggressive, ultra-aggressive. As he goes, the Heat goes. Because if he plays good, then the Heat play good. Because he's the engine. He's the point guard. You know. So if he's going to be aggressive and look for shots, great. But he's also going to get his teammates involved as well, and it frees up his other teammates too if he's a scoring threat. So it kind of all just fell together yesterday as well, and he led the charge.
He sure did. I'm going to say, now, in your opinion, what did they do differently on Timberwalk? You went 3 of 16 with 9 points. Did they double him? What do you think was the key to that?
I think they kind of closed off those lanes that he was just getting to. But also, you know, it's kind of 50-50. I think he also missed a lot of shots that he normally would take, because he was on fire the whole series. He was making difficult shots. I think Spoelstra, you know, made his adjustments. So did Steve Clifford during the series. It's kind of a back and forth. I don't think anything specific was what threw Kemba Walker off. I think kind of everybody was a little off, because the same thing kind of happened to Jeremy Lin. Like, Jeremy Lin and Kemba were attacking without hesitation earlier in the series. Yeah, the refs maybe were rewarding that, but they were the more aggressive team, and the Heat were the ones that were kind of just lurking about in the perimeter, taking difficult shots. So the roles kind of flipped in Game 7, and the Heat were the ones that were more aggressive.
Now, let me ask something. When did Luol Deng become Kyle Korver from the outside?
Yeah, right? And he seems to be the first one to score in every game. It's kind of weird. He's averaging the same amount of points as Wade, 19 points in that series. And he's shooting like 54%. So I don't know either, but he's doing really good. He's shooting well from the corner. That move from small forward to power forward, I didn't predict that. I don't think the Heat coaching staff thought that he was going to flourish as well as he did after the All-Star break. It was just one of those few fortunate things to come out of Chris Bosh's injury, was that Luol Deng has been so much more comfortable in that role. And he's attacking, and he's moving well off the ball. He's not just staying there in the corner waiting for the ball to come to him. So it's just kind of opened up so many aspects of his game. And now the question is, how much will the Heat pay to keep him, to retain him for the next season? Because he's been indispensable in this series.
Yes, he has. Now, a game like Game 6, where you almost have to go through hell and back to win a game after you lose, and there's a chance you're going to get eliminated, and you win a tight game with the season on the line, what does that do to a team going forward?
Well, that's the one thing that I thought. Well, the Hornets don't really have that kind of experience to close out a team in the playoffs. That's such a difficult thing to do. And then they have players like Wade, and even a player like Haslam stepped up in Game 6. And gave him really valuable minutes trying to contain Al Jefferson. So you have that. You have the experience from the coaching staff as well to not let the present situation get too caught up on that and just play their game. And I think there was real steadiness to the Heat in the last two games, to not rush everything, to not try to play hero ball. I think a lot of that comes from experience. And then you have players like Dragic and Whiteside that have no experience in something like this as well. And getting to the second round, I think, is going to help them so much. And we haven't even gotten to Justice and Josh Richardson, the kind of experience that these two are showing, the almost veteran-like approach to their game has been such a help for the Heat. And those last two games were so critical for everybody to be on the same page.
Definitely. Now you're going up against Toronto. And when I look at Toronto, I put big, bold letters for Miami. Box out. Because a big part of Toronto's offense is offensive rebounds. Valanciunas and Biombo, they had 18 offensive rebounds yesterday against the Pacers. And the Heat did a tremendous job against the Hornets, taking away the offensive rebounds. But this is a huge challenge. What do you think about as the key to this series?
We haven't even talked about him much, really. I think Hassan Whiteside has to have a big, big series. Because and it's kind of going along with what I said with Goran. That kind of frees up everybody as well. Because if he's gobbling up rebounds, they don't have to have so much pressure to make a shot. Because they know there's some games where you think Hassan's just going to grab every offensive rebound. Like, it's crazy when he's plugged into the game, he can be such a dominant force on both sides of the floor, and that can take care of that situation. And then they got to worry about, just like Kemba, they got to worry about Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. But if they can win that battle, like you were saying, they can win that battle and they can take that away, because Charlotte was a great rebounding team, and the Heat were able to take that away. Can they do it with the Raptors? I don't know, but it'll be a challenge. But if Hassan Whiteside, and even we really didn't even see Amari Stoudemire player, but for some reason, Spoelstra went with Haslam, and that kind of paid off as well. So it's going to be kind of a team effort, but you really have to focus on Whiteside to have a huge series on both ends of the floor. I think that's the key.
I don't think Toronto shoots it as good as Charlotte. I think they take a lot of – sometimes they take wild shots. At times, they can play a little street ball sometimes. Different than way Clifford had Charlotte play a little more organized. So this is a better matchup from a defensive standpoint. You just have to – I'm telling you, got to rebound. If they do that, and then I would say win all your home games since you do not have home court advantage, and try to get them out in six, and don't play a game seven in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that was the thing. I think a lot of Heat fans were hoping the Pacers would pull that through, because the Heat have not been a very good road team as of late. They have to get a split up in Toronto and really set the tone of that series and kind of. You know, the Toronto Raptors, you know, they have underperformed in the playoffs. If you split with them, then that kind of messes with their head a little bit, I think. And they really just squeezed past the Pacers. It wasn't very convincing, the series win. I think if they can do that, I mean, they'd be great. But, you know, they have been very inconsistent on the road. Which of these players is really going to step up? You know, Joe Johnson, you know, is kind of up and down. Wade, you know, he came on strong. But those guys have to set the tone, and I keep repeating myself, but the Whiteside really has to be plugged in, because if not, this team is almost a different team, because you have to kind of account for him. If he goes into early foul trouble, then what do? You got to play with the lineups a little bit. They have somebody in Whiteside that is very hard to contain. I wouldn't know if I was a coach on the other team and Whiteside is being dominant. I really wouldn't know how to game plan that, because this guy, when he goes up for a rebound, he's going to grab it. If he goes up for a lob, he's going to dunk it. If he's plugged in, then a lot of things change for the better for the Heat.
Oh, definitely. I think, in my opinion, I think Whiteside's toughest matchup is behind him, because Al Jefferson was so crafty in the post. Valanciunas and Tristan Thompson of Cleveland, and a lot of these players are not really good in the post, so he no longer has to worry about defending a really tough post player now. He just has to worry about blocking shots and rebound in this series.
Right. That's true. Alvin Jefferson really did a number on him with that footwork of his, and he's super crafty. I agree.
You know, but I still believe that he could pull off this and take care of business. And how bad does Pat Riley want to see LeBron James in the next round if they get past Toronto?
Yeah. I was just mentioning it to a friend of mine last night. Wouldn't that be great if it was Spurs Warriors on one end and Heat and Cavs on the other? That would be the best conference final.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would be intense.
That would be intense. Now, do you cover the Miami Dolphins?
No, I covered them one season for Fox Sports last year, but I don't cover them. I don't cover them full time anymore. No.
But you know, I thought that the sneaky good pick they got was Kenyon Drake of Alabama. Because guys like that are perfect for this version of the NFL, guys that could come out of the backfield and catch and run. And I thought that was a really good pick.
Yeah, they had a decent draft. I felt that way the last few years as well. And, you know, it's kind of hasn't panned out that way. But they've gotten, you know, one or two pretty solid players each year. And that could be one of them, you know, and then, of course, their first round, I think it went about as good as it could get. I mean, I didn't think they would ever think that they would get that with the 13th pick, I think. So I think overall they had a good draft. We'll see what happens. A lot of changes in that organization, and we'll just see how it all pans out, because you really don't want to get your hopes up before any season of the Dolphins. You want to just see how it plays out and
yes.
take it easy, and see what happens before you get your hopes up too much.
Now, you're blessed to be out in South Beach. Whose town is it? Is it the Heat, Dolphins, or Marlins? Well, who runs that town right now?
I mean, yeah, of course. Obviously, I would say historically the Dolphins, but I don't know. To me, it just seems like a Heat town. I mean, they're back in the playoffs. They're playing good. They've done so much considering that Bosch is out. But if Bosch was playing, they'd be one of the – I mean, they'd be one of the top teams in the East, you know? So I think that kind of thing, just where they're consistently putting out a quality product every year, and then you have something where really you're not with the Dolphins. I mean, they have good intentions. They're trying, you know, they're refurbishing the stadium and this and that, but, and there's always going to be talk, you know, like on talk radio, there's always going to be talk about the Dolphins. It will always be a Dolphins kind of town, but at the same time, I mean, it's just so much more exciting to be a Heat fan. And I guess we'll see, you know, with the next generation of fans here in South Florida, they're not going to have that. The Dolphins are not going to be able to count on that mystique of being here for such a long time. People are growing up with the Heat being a good team, you know, so I think little by little, it's just going to become a Heat town.
Thank you very much. You did a fantastic job. I am so looking forward to you coming on again. I need the Heat to come to win this series so we can do this again.
All right. Sounds good. I think they will. I think they will. I have a good feeling about
Thank
it.
Thank you. I do too. Thank you very much. That was Suya Fernandez. You know what? I have to agree with him. I think the Heat, they're going to win in six. Now I want to get to the West. The Spurs destroyed the Thunder 124-92, and Kawhi Leonard tore up Kevin Durant. You know, I thought that the Thunder could get a game in San Antonio. I'm not so sure now. Aldridge had. Now, I don't think he's going to have 30 points again. He's a jump shooter. He's a turnaround. He's a deep turnaround jump shooter, or he'll shoot it from the elbow. I don't think he's going to have 38. He may have like 24 or whatever. I don't know if he's going to go crazy like that again. But the problem is they left Danny Green open. He had 18 points. He was 6-7 from – was 5-6 from three. And those five shots were just in the gym by yourself, rhythm threes. It was just – the OKC has stretches where they play really goofy basketball. I heard them game two against Dallas. If you have a 5 to 10 minute stretch – or 15-minute stretch, where you're playing goofy basketball against the San Antonio Spurs, who consistently will execute you to death, that's basketball suicide. And there's the score. If they do it tonight, they're going to lose by 30 to 40 again. So Billy Donovan has his work cut out of getting them confident that they could beat the Spurs, number one. And number two, you got to play smart. And number three, you got to get a third score that's consistent. I thought they would. San Antonio did a good job on making sure the other guys were the future players, and they didn't do any good because Durant was 6 of 15 and Westbrook was 5 of 19. You'll get swept if you do that. But I expect them to play a little better. I want to see a lot. I'm going to learn a lot about Kevin Durant in this matchup versus Kawhi Leonard, who's coming after him. I want to know more about Kevin Durant in this series. And we'll see. Does Kawhi Leonard consistently just kick his rear end up and down the court all series? Or does Durant say, okay, enough is enough, I'm one of the best players in the league, and he really goes after Leonard? Because Leonard's going to be coming after him all series, whether he puts up the numbers or not. That's the way Kawhi Leonard plays. Serge Ibaka had 19 points, but I don't. You need more than that. You need more. You need Chanter to have more than 6 points. And Deion Waiters will okay 11, but you need a third guy or it's going to be a real short series. I was thinking that the Thunder could win because I thought they could split a game in San Antonio and win their home games in OKC, but I'm not so sure now because San Antonio is their usual fantastic self. They execute with excellence in their half court, and it's the system. It's not just Kawhi Leonard and Duncan. No, it's Popovich. It's a system you have to go up against. Speaking of the system, you have to go against the system when you play Golden State. Curry's out, and he said come back for game 3. I wouldn't even play him if they could get 3 from the Blazers. They won 118 to 106. Now, Damian Lillard had 30 points, but he was 8 of 26. Klay Thompson made him work, and Klay Thompson was ridiculously good. He had a big game. He had 37 points. And Draymond Grant, 23 points, 11 assists, and 13 rebounds. Oof, man, that's serious right there. When that's a triple-double. He's just doing what he does. Hit 2 of 5 from three-point range. And they're just consistent. Sean Livingston, everybody just plays. The ball moves so beautifully, graceful. It's just fun to watch Golden State Warriors. And they play the game like San Antonio, but they're more athletic. And they run the same style that San Antonio runs, but it's a more athletic version. That's why I give them a slight edge against the Spurs. I believe Curry's going to come back. He's healing pretty quick. And they're going to do what they have to do because I'm still going to believe that Golden State is going to end up winning this whole thing when it's all said and done. So Saturday, I'm looking forward to talking to you again.